about one child to another child. That's gossip. There's no need for it unless you are solving a problem that involved them. So I think this is a sin that our author brings out that is far more subtle than we know, and is something that has to be forcefully dealt with by the grace of God in our lives, and I think is really key for God to bless. Now the term that you find that means gossip in the Word of God is found in Ephesians chapter 4 in the progression that comes out of bitterness. And it's the word evil speaking, which if you were to go to the Greek, it means slanderer. And in fact, it's where we get the idea of diabolical. So slander is really the method of Satan to undercut the work of God. And he is a liar. He maligns. He accuses the brethren. And so many times believers, when they're in a carnal state and have a wrong attitude, they don't realize how much Satan can influence them. Now remember, as a believer, if you're truly saved, you can only be indwelt by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's a great blessing. But you can be heavily influenced by Satan's thinking. Peter, of course, as we mentioned the last time, is the prime example of that. When the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," he was saying things that were opposite of what should have been said, and it came from Satan. Ananias and Sapphira were believers, but it says Satan has filled your heart to do what you have done. And so whenever our hearts come out of bitterness or wrong attitude and we then say something, or just not wise, we're being selfish, we say something we shouldn't say about somebody else, you know, you're really a tool of the evil one. And I tell you one thing you want to just get settled in your life. I don't want to be Satan's tool ever, ever, ever. And so that's why this matter of gossip is not a small matter. It's not a light sin. It's like killing people. Think about how much it's hurt when you've been talked about. Now, it may be that what you've been talked about is true, but that was something that ought not be made public. You know, you're dealing with it, and that person knew about it. Or it can be a false accusation above and beyond what may be negative in your life. And some people never recover from that. They live in bitterness their entire life because somebody talked about them. In fact, the world just lives with that. They live with it as a problem. So we do not want that to be obviously part of our life. Let me just review some of the things that we talked about. There are three categories of gossip. Malicious gossip is consciously and deliberately hurtful. It's based in envy and rooted in flagrant selfishness. It's actually designed to break up relationships, it is designed to make you look better than somebody else. I consider that malicious gossip. In other words, you say something that actually puts you in a better light and puts the other person down, well, that's intended to hurt that person and for you to gain something. That's really common. And our hearts can be very, very deceitful in that regard. Then there's rationalization, which is very subtle. It's not malicious, but it's still has the same selfish motives, and somehow you rationalize that you're doing someone good by bringing it up. And what's the number one means of this kind of gossip? Prayer requests. Oh, how the Lord must be, have been grieved over and over by prayer requests. Please pray for so-and-so. They've had a problem with us and thus, and that's something that did not need to go public, and now you've just made it public, and there's something that is twisted in your own thinking to think that that can be good. Now, there are people, for instance, you think among people that are directly working with someone that can be part of the solution, that maybe there ought to be prayer about something? Absolutely, especially if it's known. It's already known anyway. But, you know, if it's not known, I shouldn't bring it up in an administrative prayer meeting, you know, unless there's a direct reason for it. I mean, there is just, there has to be trustworthiness, and it's so important. And then there's innocent gossip where you're trying to be helpful, you say something and your motives aren't bad, and we just don't think. And I'm going to get to some solutions. One of the solutions is don't talk too much. The more you talk, the more tempted you are to say something you shouldn't say. Isn't there truth to that? I tell you, there's wisdom in controlled speech. So those three categories, I think, really do hit the nuances of gossip. And so what we need to aim for, as was mentioned, is godly speech. That needs to be what we want, spirit-controlled, edifying speech. And so how do we avoid gossiping? We need to immediately think the best about others. Now, this is really important. This one really helps. Don't make a judgment. Love believeth all things. Now, you may be very discerning. Discerning people can be spiritually tremendously astute and in the next moment really dangerous because they're able to see through things and they're probably right, but they shouldn't be saying or thinking what they're thinking because you don't know for sure. And remember, anytime you hear anything, your conclusion is never going to be 100% right. It will always be off some percentage. Yes, ma'am.
Should we not have to tell anyone, please don't pass this on?
I mean, well, we shouldn't have to say that.
A private conversation, we should not have to tell our
friends. Absolutely not, no. Now, sometimes it may be information that's not necessarily negative, and you may have to say, please don't, I don't want that out yet. But if it's negative, it ought to be known. It ought to be known. And maybe that information I shouldn't talk about anyway. You know, so it's that's what you got to ask yourself. But think the best. That verse from 1 Corinthians 13 comes through my mind often. Love believeth all things. I got to give the benefit of the doubt. I want to look at this on the positive side. See, the problem with the pastor is you can pretty much see through stuff. But you're not perfect in your thinking. Don't make a judgment in your heart. Be for people. You know, a person could have really had a bad day and done a dumb thing and said some dumb things, but the next day they really are, God's working in their heart. Don't make a judgment about them. Really, you want, and we said this the last time, you want people to think about you like, or you want to think about people like you want them to think about you. You want the benefit of the doubt. How many of you are perfect? How many of you do dumb things? Okay. Now, don't you like it when people still believe the best about you when you are really, that was, excuse the term, I'm not supposed to say it, but stupid, okay? We do stupid things. And don't you love it when somebody loves you anyway and they just don't go, you know, you had a bad day. Man, you just shouldn't have said it. By the way, get those things right. That helps a lot. But anyway, it's so important. That one right there solves a lot of problems. Don't make judgments. Don't come to conclusions. Now, you can be discerning and have warnings in your own mind. You can say, you know, that's not a good spirit. I got to be careful here. I don't want to be affected by that. I don't want to believe what they just said. That wasn't wise that they said it. Maybe I have to talk to someone that's in a place to solve the problem about it, but I don't know the whole story, and I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. So it's a hard line between discernment and love that believeth all things, but it really helps if you can do that. I mentioned last time, avoid settings that can lead to gossip, sitting around and talking too much. You know, it's just the human nature. That's why if you're going to be in a long-term discussion with ladies, be directed in your discussion. And it needs to be edifying. The Spirit of God needs to be in control. And I tell you, fellowship can be absolutely glorious, but it can also be absolutely dangerous at the same time. Did you hear about, what do you think about, you know, and boy, those discussions go south. I don't know why we say south. My wife doesn't like that. they go down. But, of course, all of us. Yeah. Well, no, I don't like that because I grew up out west, you know. Of course, way out west, that is definitely down, okay. Well, Colorado on. It's unbelievable. That's not the subject I'm going to deal with. All right. Avoid people who do gossip. That doesn't mean you don't minister to them, but you avoid letting your guard down and having fellowship with someone that you know will hurt you. Once you have had that, you've got to be discerning, and that's hard. You've got to ask God for grace. But some people just have a difficult time. And I'm telling you, you hear something about somebody else, you may try to check it in your mind, but you've been affected by that. And so that's always in the back of your mind. It's much better not to hear it. And so that's what we have to be careful. If somebody just keeps giving information all the time, wow, I really don't need to hear that. And we'll talk about it, but I've gotten to the place, I don't want to hear it. Even in counseling, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want it in my mind. Stop. I can offend people, but I don't want it in my mind. It's not fair to that person. And so be very careful about that. And then say nothing. If your mouth is closed, it's hard to gossip. A person of few words is deemed very wise. And so that's good. All right. We just got onto this, and this, I think the review was important. In our last session, telephone, how do we eliminate gossip from our lives? Telephone over the years has been a great source of gossip. Much hurt has come from the telephone. Many of you ladies are stuck at home, not stuck, you are privileged to be at home with your little ones there. Wrong terminology. And so the phone is an outlet. Number one, endless chatting on the phone hurts those little ones there. And then number two, again, the more you say, the more trouble you can get into. Because one thing will stimulate another thing in a phone conversation. You know, a good thing to ask yourself when you're in a phone conversation, have I completed what I needed to talk about? If so, my time and my responsibilities should demand that I kindly finish that conversation, because now I'm just chatting. And that's nice at times, but we don't usually have the time to just chat. And so now, social media, which she does not write about here, is the number one gossip place. The problem with a Facebook type of a venue is it's out there for everybody to see. The most scandalous stuff shows up on Facebook. I think people are getting now a little bit more where they don't take that as seriously as they used to. But Facebook has destroyed churches, ministries, families. It's just been unbelievable. And so if you use any kind of social media, which I would encourage you not to use a lot of it or any of it, now obviously texting, email, I'm not referring to that, but even there can be, you know, a real problem. But remember, anything you post, anything you tweet, goes out to a bunch of people. And you know, it's real easy to go. It's a little harder on the phone. You think about it a little bit more. And it's out there. It's out there in cyberspace forever. And so this is, to me, one of the sad, sad things that has occurred. And I think a lot of Christians have shriveled up because at a bad moment, they lose their temper and then they write things and they can't pull it back. They can maybe delete, try to, but it's hard. Once it's out there, it has had its impact. I read a book probably about a year ago that talked about the rage that is seen on social media, how that people just in a bad moment immediately write. And the things they say in real life, they wouldn't in a group of people say those things, wouldn't even probably say it on the phone, but it's so easy in the quietness of their own home to write something that has equally bad, if not greater impact, because it's there, it's being seen. And there's an adrenaline dopamine high on that, yes. Yeah. You can't ever get it back. Yeah. That's a very good illustration. I appreciate you bringing that up because that's exactly what happens, and people are hurt. People are hurt by it. So I that's probably one of my greatest problems, or other problems with social media of the Facebook type, but that's one of my greatest concerns, is saying things that ought not be said that are not biblical. And I think it's something we can't. If you're going to use social media, you ought to have a very private one in which it's just for your specific ones. It's locked in and encrypted, and even there, be very careful. But I think wide open Facebook type venues really are dangerous. Well, also, what happens? Boom, up comes something from somebody else. You can't even control it. You know, you can't put a little button on your account that says, the audio comes on unbiblical, unbiblical, unbiblical when that thing comes up, so to warn you. It doesn't work that way. And I tell you what, there is just a perverse enjoyment that we have, even if we hate it, in reading something negative. And we all have to admit that, and that's bad. You want to just not have that as a possibility. Yeah, yes. Well, I tell you what, we need to keep a healthy fear for other reasons for that. Let me just say this, and what you said just brought up another perspective. Texting, social media, what you write is not necessarily communicated correctly without the presence of a person. You can say something and it seems like you meant something very different. So if you're not wise and you let yourself make a negative comment, that comment will be blown out of proportion way in a major way, and that was no intent on your part to make it seem like it comes across. And so writing is dangerous. Writing is nice. I'm glad I can text instead of having to make all kind of phone calls. That certainly is helpful. And there are ways you can use it, but I really be careful. Something that you need to communicate to someone, if it's important, talk to them. And if possible, talk to them in person. So they can read your face, they can see your motives, they can feel it. There is just a dynamic that cannot, even FaceTime doesn't do it. You know, Skype and those kind of things. It's certainly helpful to have that when you're in South Africa. But it is so important. All right. Again, the next thing to be careful about is talking. Just talk less. Okay, honestly, a conversation can go, or I use the word south again, it can go south in about 10 minutes if the purpose was something else. Again, ask yourself, am I spirit-led and is this necessary? Well, you want to have good fellowship and sometimes just want to hear about people and chat. That's fine. But a lot of phone calls could be ended, or times talking at a good point where you sense you could be saying too much. And then Terry, don't be quick to respond to what people are talking about. You know, we like to get involved in a conversation. We like to inject our two cents. Well, our two cents could really be a bad two cents. It could give an innuendo about someone that you really didn't mean to give because you're just talking and you like to get involved, or you give them I was wondering about that person, or, you know, I've been burdened about them. Well, even that, what does that do? It gives credence to something that shouldn't have been said in the first place. And so if you can learn, I've learned in conversations, definitely in counseling, but in conversations that I know are going to be very important, just be quiet for a while. Listen. Don't be quick to share, you know, to be injected into this because you want to be part of the conversation. And that takes a lot of discipline to do that. In fact, I'll make a mental note when I start into what could be an interesting conversation. Keep your mouth shut. Listen. Inject what is important, and don't give your opinion unless it's of the Lord. It will really protect you. Because even in a conversation about things that are important, you can slip up. And if you do slip up, you need to immediately, that was wrong. And I shouldn't have even, that's, you know, I had no right to make that opinion. I don't know why I said that. I do know why. It's the old nature. But, okay, how can I make permanent changes in my speech? And this is all very helpful. Remember, who's the source of slander? Satan. Well, that'll help you if you think about it. Well, I've certainly had a great day of letting Satan use me today. Not a way to live, you know. All right. Realize the cause of slander. Hatred, jealousy, envy, and an evil heart. Remember in Ephesians 4, it goes back to the bitterness, blaming someone else, unresolved issues. There is something unresolved in your heart if you are able to say something negative. Choose your company carefully. Be very careful who you spend a lot of time with. Not that you're pious and better than anybody else, but you know your own weaknesses. I just can't be around this group because they start getting negative. I just am not going to put myself in that spot. I want edifying speech. And you have to make some hard choices, but you do want to win on this one. And this is, I really appreciate, she's being very honest here on all this. Choose words of praise. Be for people, not against them. Anything you can do to encourage them. As I said, we all have done dumb things, right? And we certainly appreciate somebody that understands and lifts us up and does and is trustworthy in how they handle us. And so kind words, grace-filled words, instructive words. Not that which tears down. And I mentioned, I think, the last time, when somebody starts being negative, I'll say, stop. You know, that person really is a blessing. And don't forget, they may have, I don't know what happened there, but I'm telling you, they have really been used of God here. That just wrecks that conversation. And if it's truthful, you don't want to say things that aren't truthful. But that happens with preacher gossip about another preacher. Whoa, wait a second. You know, I really appreciate what God's doing. Yeah, they may not have the same philosophy as I do, but man, I'm telling you, I don't want to undercut their ministry. I don't know how many times I've said that. Man, we need to be praying for one another. That just kills that conversation dead in the tracks. And that's one that's so tempting, it's easy to fall prey to, which I have done. Choose to pray. And this is so important. When you really pray about someone, you don't talk about them. Because you've entered into an interaction with God that's precious. And man, you're burdened for them. You get a love. You get Christ's love for them. And you just can't talk about them. So I can guarantee you, if you gossip about somebody, you haven't prayed for them or haven't prayed for them recently. I really appreciate what she's saying here. And then choose to deal with gossip as sin. Confess it. And if you've done it, you've got to go and apologize. If you do that regularly, you will get sick and tired of apologizing. It's a great way to solve the problem. You know, I mean, that is horrible. And if you apologize, you've also got to be edifying because it hurts the person if you have to apologize. You got to apologize to the person you talked to. And if it's gotten out, then you got to apologize to the person that you talked about. And then you got to edify them by having a right attitude. I mean, you get yourself in a real trap. And God can use it all, but but you got to just set it down. It's sin. It's as bad as stealing. It is bad as murder. And I cannot let this go by and think I'm okay. I think a lot of believers really hurt their lives spiritually because of this. So what do you do when others gossip? I'm going to take a couple more minutes than I normally do here. Leave the scene. Don't be pious about it. Don't make a big scene. Just leave. I need to go now. If the leader of that group says, "Why are you going?" I just then be honest. I don't want to hear this kind of talk. Most of the time that won't happen. But leave the scene. Get out. Like Joseph ran from temptation. Run from temptation. Kindly, without making a scene of yourself, get away. And it takes a lot of courage and character by the grace of God to do that. Choose to speak up. Sometimes you have standing in a group. And if you have standing in a group, then leaving the scene is not enough. You need to say, "This is not right. Can we stop this conversation? This is not appropriate." Now, boy, you can really take it in the chin for doing that. But I tell you, if a few ladies in situations would be very loving and kind, but just, you know, a kind speaking up, it would make a lot of difference. I like what she says here. Don't, when somebody says, "Don't tell anyone, but," she said, "I'll raise my hand and interrupt with, 'Well, then don't tell me.'" You know. See, if you realize I'm not part of the problem and I'm not part of the solution, wait a second, I don't need to hear it. And in fact, that's something you can kindly say. You say, "I have a rule of thumb in my life. If I'm not part of the problem and I'm not part of the solution, I really don't want to hear it. Am I either one of those?" "Well, no." "Okay. Well, I understand why you want to talk about it. Well, go to the Lord about it. Go to the right person. Be real sweet with them. That'll really help." I appreciate folks that will point people to the right person. Why don't you just go and deal with that person about this? And why don't you try to help them? And choose your tongue. Choose to be ready with a positive phrase or two. "Bless her heart. Oh, that just couldn't be true. She's too kind to do something like that." Like I said earlier, just say something like, I don't want to believe that. Now, it may be true what they're saying, but I don't want to believe it. And if it comes out before you can stop it, and I think I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, it's been 25, 30 years ago, it got out that I had preached against red dresses. I think some of you may remember that. And it got all over the country that I preached against red dresses. You know, I'm thinking, where did... Well, actually, we had a speaker that mentioned red in talking about Proverbs, the strange woman. And it was a very passing thing. It wasn't even me, and what he said was not that. It's about the best I could come up with where that came from. It was just malicious is what it was. But one of the top leaders told me, he said, "Yeah, I heard some guys talk about it," and he said, "Stop. I don't believe he would ever do that, and you all ought to have enough sense to know that that would not be the kind of ministry he'd have, and this is wrong." And he said, "I'm going to find out." So he found out, and he got back with every one of those guys and said, "No, it's not true, and that was wrong." Boy, you appreciate a friend like that. Wow. In fact, that started killing it. I had a couple of men who were of high standing just said, "This is ridiculous." And I've tried to do that too. When I hear something, that just can't be true. And we ought not be talking about it, you know. So, all right. Have a positive phrase or two. As I said, choose to use your tongue to glorify God. It never, 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 never glorifies God to have a gossiping tongue. All right, so the overall guidelines at the end here: control your emotions, control your life by controlling your mouth. Consider that your mouth can do great damage, James 3:5. Confine your mouth to good uses, Ephesians 4:29, very helpful. And commit your mouth to the Lord, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.